This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We start today with a look at the small business funding that was made available by the Federal CARES Act. And joining us on the phone are two guests from the U.S. Small Business Administration Columbus District. Everett Woodell Jr. is the district director. Everett, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having us with you today.
It's our pleasure. And we also have Jerome Jones. He is a lender relations specialist. Jerome, thank you as well.
Thank you very much for having us.
And in an effort to have full disclosure, Cincinnati Public Radio, including WVXU as a station, have applied for the Personal Protection Program for assistance. And for those of you listening, if you've got questions about this funding made available to small businesses, maybe something you need clarity on or some concerns that you might have, or if you just want to share your experience with it so far, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Everett, let's start with you. What happened on Tuesday with the Small Business Administration system here in Ohio? I understand that it might have gone down for a little bit.
Yeah, and actually, just to begin, I did want to make sure your listeners were aware, and I think it's important to note that all our federal agencies are working together to protect the public health, including the SBA. Our top priority is to ensure our small businesses get access to capital and other business resources quickly in order to sustain their businesses and keep workers employed. Yeah, I had actually heard that, back to your question. Each day, obviously, the SBA is adding capacity. So in some situations, they may pull it down to add some additional capacity. We've seen that a couple times in the past, but it promptly came back online as we've modified the systems and made them simpler and a little more intuitive for the users.
We're seeing all kinds of news about unemployment filings and the way that systems across the country have been overwhelmed by the number of applicants seeking access to funds. Everett, what kind of numbers are we seeing on the SBA front as small businesses seek to take part in this funding opportunity to sustain them during this crisis?
Yeah, I think the word to use is unprecedented. All the systems are seeing an unbelievable amount of hits, and obviously we're working really hard. As far as numbers themselves, I don't have direct numbers with me currently, but it is quite an extensive capacity that we're adding to make sure that we don't run into those long waits that we might have seen in the past.
Jerome Jones is a lender relations specialist with the U.S. Small Business Administration Columbus District. Jerome, what's different about this process compared to the usual process through which a small business might seek funding?
Yes, as Everett stated, this is unprecedented. We have literally millions of small businesses across the country that are applying, and that's definitely not the typical volume that we see. So there's numbers. Just sheer numbers are a lot more. The process is pretty similar as to how people apply. They would go to their lender for the Paycheck Protection Program and apply directly through the lender and not through the SBA to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program.
And one thing, Michael, if I could add, what we've done with the EIDL program itself is simplified the application process as well from the original application when it came out. As you know, Ohio became eligible on March 19th, and I would like to state that that was a collaborative effort between not only the local district office of SBA, but also the governor's office to make sure that we could meet all the requirements to be eligible. So, yes, March 19th, which was a very important day to be able to get everything up and running. And as we've gone along, we've worked diligently to simplify the systems for the users.
And as you said, that the word we keep hearing is unprecedented. And that is certainly the case as people look for a variety of different types of funding. There's a variety of funding opportunities available. Three different programs are available through this federal program. Jerome, can you explain the different ones so that people might better understand, if they've not yet applied, which one they should pursue?
Yeah, the EIDL loan program, or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, that is the loan that is directly through the SBA, disasterloan.sba.gov. That loan comes directly through the SBA. You can also apply with that loan for up to a $10,000 advance. That advance is forgivable and does not require repayment. Those funds can be used for your monthly fixed and variable expenses, So your monthly rent or mortgage, loan payments, utilities, and payroll. With the Paycheck Protection Program, those funds should be used for payroll and payroll-related expenses. A small amount, 25% of the loan, can go towards other expenses, but the majority of that loan is to be used for payroll and related expenses.
And then, and that's the one that's offered through the bank?
Yes, Paycheck Protection Program is offered through the bank.
And then can you
go directly to your SBA lender?
Okay, so if we add the banks in, I want to hear a little bit about how banks have come online with this, what type of relationship the agency has with these banks, and where we could maybe see some room for improvement in that respect if necessary.
Yeah, I think overall, Michael, that we have a great relationship with quite a few banks across the state of Ohio. Ohio is actually broken down into two districts, the Cleveland and the Columbus district. But we throughout the year continue to maintain those relationships with our lenders. One thing that's important on that Paycheck Protection Program was it was created to help small business retain local jobs by providing that capital quickly through our lending partners.
Okay, and what are some of the restrictions that we're hearing about that banks are putting on? I understand that the system is somewhat more lenient than if you were going a more traditional route, but there are some requirements that there should be a pre-existing relationship of some capacity with the lending banks.
That issue has been raised by some individuals. We actually here in the Columbus District Office have a list of lenders that are taking new clients. So if you did have a pre-existing relationship with your lender and they are an SBA lender, you go to your lending institution and they can help walk you through the process. However, if you didn't have one, we keep a list of those banks that are accepting new clientele, and we make sure that we provide that to the small businesses when they contact our office.
And again, we're talking about the Federal CARES Act and the small business funding mechanisms made available through that federal legislation. We are joined by two guests from the U.S. Small Business Administration Columbus District. Everett Woodell Jr. is the district director, and Jerome Jones is the lender relations specialist. Jerome, for the PPP loan, the one that aims to keep folks on their small business's payroll, what amount of funding is available?
So for that program right now, you can get up to $10 million now as far as what how it's calculated. They would take their monthly payroll average, so typically their last 12 months divided by 12, and multiply that by 2.5, and that will come up with their available loan amount.
And when we talk about payroll, I had read about some confusion in that respect, because some small businesses might use independent contractors to execute a lot of their labor rather than having somebody on full time as staff members. Does that count as payroll when these small businesses calculate the formula?
So for 1099s, no, it does not count because they are not technically payroll for the business, but the 1099 contractors can apply on their own starting Friday on the 10th.
So
they can apply for Paycheck Protection Program on their own.
So does the 1099er apply for that as an individual, or do they need to be incorporated as some sort of LLC or sole proprietorship?
No, they do not have to be an LLC or sole proprietorship. They can apply as an individual.
So how does that compare to the unemployment process for them? And which route should a contractor take if they're looking for some type of income assistance during this time? Should they go the unemployment route, or should they seek out one of these loan opportunities?
I guess I'll step in and answer that one, Michael. They probably, if they have an accountant, may sit down with them or a financial advisor to see. We obviously are not involved in the unemployment side of the CARES Act, strictly on the PPP and the EIDL loan in advance. So I think they would probably be best served to actually speak with their accountant or financial advisor to see which is the best and most appropriate option for them.
Okay, well, let's talk about the process, Everett. What happens when someone sits down and tries to navigate this system? What type of questions are they asked, and what types of materials and information should they have ready to go?
So on the Paycheck Protection Program, that's actually all led through the lenders. They have the application process, so they have the questions that have been sent to them from headquarters from SBA. So it's all done through a portal. Jerome, would you like to explain the eTrans portal or the portals themselves?
Yeah, so the lender has access to our eTran system, and that's how the lender actually uploads the application to the SBA. Once they receive their SBA loan number and authorization, then they can disperse the funds using their own documentation.
And then about how long does it take, both to apply, to hear, and then to receive funds?
The hope is that the money will be pushed out as soon as possible. I know that there had been some initial dates given or time frames of 3 to 5 days or so forth, and I know that's what the SBA is striving to achieve.
This is a very new program. It's only days old, but do we know of any amount of money that's been distributed yet?
I am not aware of any, but I'm sure we could get some information and follow up with you at a later date.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that as well. You know, small businesses, it's a pretty broad term. You know, there are very well-established companies that have a couple dozen, three dozen employees. And then, of course, there are much smaller entities where there's just one person possibly working in a shop. Could one of you possibly explain the different challenges that those types of businesses that fall within the small business definition but are quite different from each other that they might face when they pursue these funds?
Jerome, would you like to start? And then I'll jump in as well.
Yeah, so our definition of a small business is 500 or fewer employees. So anyone who fits into that category would obviously qualify or be eligible. We do have other size standards that will allow larger companies, but most small businesses that we encounter would easily fall within our eligible size standards for that.
And not trying to get too technical, but
yes,
that could, Michael, that can exceed the 500, but that's based on your industry code. So I don't want to get too technical on it, but the 500 or below standard is pretty much so what we go with. However, that can be moved up or down based on the industry in which your company is in.
And I guess just a little bit more on that question. I'm thinking about, you know, if there's, let's just say, a lawn care company that has two dozen employees, that has a well-established business, they're certainly going to take a hit during this time, possibly, but they might be better capitalized. They might have a little bit more money in the bank that could sustain them while they wait for any loan mechanism to kick in, as opposed to someone who operates a small retail shop on a main street where perhaps it's just one or two people working there. Are there different challenges anticipated from those different perspectives, Everett?
Yeah, there actually will be some different challenges. You know, the restaurants are definitely going to feel it because they have a lot of individuals that are working off of tips as well. Or you are correct, some companies do have more collateral or they have more cash in the bank. However, these programs, whether it's the EIDL or the Paycheck Protection Program, you know, the EIDL is really about trying to offset that loss of revenue year over year, correct? Where the Paycheck Protection Program was created to help small businesses retain local jobs by providing that capital quickly.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation with our guest, Everett and Jerome. They are from the Small Business Administration, the Federal Small Business Administration, Columbus District. We want to hear from you as well. If you have questions, comments, give us a call, 513-419-7100. We continue in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now on the phone with two guests from the U.S. Small Business Administration Columbus District. Everett Woodell Jr. is the district director. Everett, thank you for staying with us.
Thank you, Michael.
And Jerome Jones is a lender relations specialist. Jerome, our thanks to you for being here again as well.
Thank you, Mark.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you have questions for our two guests who are here about your small business, some concerns you have, some clarity that you might be seeking as you navigate this very new process in this very challenging situation that so many of us face. And in the interest of full disclosure, Cincinnati Public Radio, including WVXU and WGUC as stations, have applied for the Paycheck Protection Program for assistance from the government. I want to continue with the EIDL loans that are available. Again, this is directly through the Small Business Administration, Everett, and this is that $10,000 advance that's being offered. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's up to $10,000, and it is. It's actually a direct loan from the Treasury through the Small Business Administration.
And I understand that that money could be forgivable.
That is a grant. That the advance money is not, you will not pay back the grant, the upfront advance money.
Okay. And so when we talked about the Paycheck Protection Program, we're doing a calculation of monthly payroll, basically by taking the annual payroll, dividing that by 12, and then multiplying by 2.5. That's usually the amount of a loan that you receive through that. How is the EIDL grant determined?
The actual grant, Jerome, I know you worked on that application. Can you update us on that or update listeners?
Yes. Don't know how the actual grant is calculated. I'm sure they're going to look at your overall expenses and your potential loan amount and base it upon that. For instance, if you apply for, you know, a EIDL loan of $8,000 or so, that's probably what your grant will be. Don't know how they actually figure the advance portion if you apply for much more than that.
And Jerome, as I understand it, this has a little more flexibility with what it can go towards. This can kind of cover just overhead expenses that a business might face?
Correct. The EIDL loan is meant to replace your monthly expenses, so your mortgage, rent, utilities, and payroll. It can cover payroll as well. So it's just meant to replace or to cover your monthly expenses, not to purchase anything, just to replace your monthly expenses.
And we are talking with Everett Woodell Jr. and Jerome Jones from the U.S. Small Business Administration, Columbus District. I'm not the only one with questions. Our switchboard just lit up. So let's go to the audience now and get some of their perspective and their questions. We'll go first to Ben, who's on the line now. Hi, Ben. What's your question or comment?
Hi, good afternoon. I own a local neighborhood tavern. I have 11 employees, all of which are paid part-time with a wage, hourly wage, and tips. I pay myself a salary, so I know I would qualify for the Paycheck Protection Program. Do they qualify? Do I include them and their wages in this loan application in hopes to be able to make them whole?
Okay, Everett or Jerome, it sounds like Ben owns a neighborhood bar, 11 employees, all part-time except for him. They are hourly workers with tips. Do they qualify for one of these?
Jerome?
Yeah, yes, they would qualify. As long as they're on payroll, they would qualify for the Paycheck Protection Program. Or the EIDL loan.
Okay, Ben, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. We appreciate the call very much. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. Next up is Susan. Hi, Susan. What's your question or comment?
Yes, hi. For those of us who have rental property or Airbnb property, and that's our only income, we do not qualify. We don't have an EIN number for the SBA website. And we also do not have, we're not available, we don't qualify for unemployment. So where would we go to, and is there a place we could go on the SBA site that would include us?
Everett or Jerome, any help for someone in Susan's situation?
Hey, Jerome.
Yes, you could apply through the EIDL loan to cover your monthly expenses. As far as the Paycheck Protection Program, that would be a little more difficult because it's really not covering a payroll-related expense.
But Susan...
So the way I've seen...
No, go ahead, Everett.
Michael, what I've seen on the EIDL program, that could be covered. But again, that's why we wanted to have Jerome on here. He's working this every day as a lender relations specialist. So we wanted to make sure we had that technical side covered as well. But through the EIDL loan, she should go to that website because I believe there would be an opportunity for her to apply through that program.
Okay, I think she said that she doesn't have an EIN number. So is there a challenge in applying for that without that information?
You could apply as a sole proprietorship, so you don't have if she's set up that way, through the EIDL loan program. So you don't have to be an LLC or a corporation.
Okay, there you go, Susan. We do appreciate the call very much. You should look up the SBA EIDL loan and explore that one, it sounds like. We appreciate the call. 513-419-7100. Next up is Steve. Hi, Steve. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I'm self-employed. I'm with an S corp. I'm a small manufacturer. I pay myself a salary. My question is, would I be eligible for payroll protection plan?
For yourself?
For myself.
Okay. Everett or Jerome?
S-corps are covered. Jerome, would you like to add to it? But S-corps are covered.
Yeah, S-corps are definitely covered. If you list yourself as payroll, you can definitely apply for the Paycheck Protection Program.
There you go, Steve. Thank you so much for your call. 513-419-7100. Let's go now to Ed. Hi, Ed. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, it has to do with rental income. You know, I rent mostly to college students. And they've closed campuses around Ohio State, University of Dayton, and the University of Cincinnati. So it becomes a major problem for income. We lose roughly $50,000 this year because of the closed campus at UT. I'd like to know what's available as far as being able to recover some of those funds or as far as loans for that.
Okay, Jerome or Everett?
Yeah, I'll jump in first, and Jerome can finish it up. So the EIDL program would be the loss of revenue. So that would actually probably be the route that you would go. Jerome, any thoughts on that?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, so Ed, it sounds like checking out the EIDL loan is the appropriate response for you. We do appreciate your call, 513-419-7100. Let's go now to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. What's your question or comment?
Hi, I own a small company. I have 7 employees, and I've had to lay a couple off, and I have enough work for a couple of them. And I understand the different programs, and I'm interested in the Paycheck Protection Program, but no lender is taking applications. Huntington Bank, which is a national bank, it's not a small, dinky local bank. Huntington Bank sent me an email saying, hey, we're not even accepting applications anymore. So you guys have been talking for a half an hour about money no one can get to.
Okay, hang on, Cindy. And let me ask you, Everett, is there a cap that some of these banks are offering? And has some of the time already passed for some of the participating banks?
I'm sure there are some caps that would not be aware of what those are for the very large banks, but we have many community banks that would definitely be interested. I'm sorry, the caller's name was Cindy.
Yes.
Cindy, I'm going to give you a phone number to our office, and it's 614-427-0407, because we do have a list of those banks that are accepting. It sounds like you don't have a pre-existing relationship with a lender, an SBA lender, or if you do, they're not accepting. So let's see if we can get you the names and numbers of some banks that are accepting right now, and that way you at least have somewhere to go and someone to contact.
Again, Cindy, the number is 614-427-0407. That right, Everett?
That is correct, Michael. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Cindy. So give them a call and see if they can't help you out. And Everett, I understand that you might have to run. So we do appreciate you being with us. Jerome is going to stay on the line and help us answer some more of these questions from both our listeners and from me. So Everett, we do appreciate you. That is Everett Woodell Jr. He's the district director of the U.S. Small Business Administration, Columbus District. Everett, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. And if I could add one thing on my way out, our small businesses are really important to both our local and the national economy. So we can all show our support for those small businesses by engaging them on social media, buying gift cards, ordering takeout. I mean, that's how we can continue to help sustain some of these small businesses. So I kind of wanted to leave on that note. That's something that, you know, everyone on my team is doing. And I think it's just something to get out there and we can continue to support these small businesses in this trying time.
We're appreciative of your time. This was a very helpful conversation. And thank you for sticking around with us while you could.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
But we still have with us Jerome Jones. He is a lender relations specialist with the U.S. Small Business Administration Columbus District, and he's answering questions still from our listeners. And we'll go back to the phone lines now. Next up is Rich. Hi, Rich. What's your question or comment?
I have two questions. The first is, I run a 501c3 nonprofit, and in looking at the EIDL loan advance, there's a question on there as to whether we are a public or private charity. And I never considered whether we were or not. So if you can give some guidance as to whether we are considered a public or private charity as we are a 501c3.
501c3s are eligible.
I guess the question, Jerome, is whether they are private or public. Is there any way to better define what that means?
That will be defined in the 501 designation. There are several different 501 designations. 501c6s are typically public. 501c6s, my understanding at this time, are not eligible, but 501c3s are. I really don't have the definition of the many different types of 501s, but I do know 501c3s are.
Okay, Rich, so it sounds like you just need to look up more specifically about how your nonprofit is characterized as a 501c3. And you had another question you wanted to get out?
It's concerning the PPP program, which we're also applying for. We have one full-time and about 15 part-time seasonal people. How should I consider those 15 or so seasonal people in the PPP program?
Jerome.
Yes, that's a little more difficult. So for that, give our office a call, 614-427-0407. We're still awaiting guidance for some of these more specific issues. But give our office a call and we'll get that information out to you as soon as we can.
Again, Rich, that number is 614-427-0407 to talk directly with an SBA representative. Rich, thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for your call. 513-419-7100. Let's go now to Glenn. Hi, Glenn. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Michael. Big fan of you. Big fan of your show. My
thank
question
you.
Is about the timing for the PPP. For businesses who do get approved through their local SBA lender, what is the timing for when those monies need to be drawn to pay payroll? Can they be retroactively applied, or is there a future start date that they must begin funding their payroll? And I can take my question off the air.
Thank you for the call, Glenn.
Yeah, my understanding is that they can be retroactively applied back to as far as February 15th of 2020.
All right, there you go. Glenn, thank you so much for the call. 513-419-7100 is our number. If you want to get on the air, we've got a few minutes left with Jerome Jones. He is a lender relations specialist with the U.S. Small Business Administration, Columbus District. So you just got a lot of questions there, Jerome, and we're very thankful for our listeners for participating in our conversation. Thankful to you for offering this information to these people in this very challenging time. What type of questions outside of the ones we just received is your office handling most commonly since this program opened up? Do we still have Jerome on the line?
Pardon me, I missed that. I thought you were talking to someone. Please repeat the question.
My apologies, Jerome. Maybe I wasn't clear. I was thanking you for sticking around and then just kept babbling. So we just heard a lot of questions from the callers who had questions about their situation. I'm wondering, outside of those questions we just addressed, what seem to be the more common themes emerging from people who are making inquiries into these potential funding opportunities right now?
Mostly, you know, timing and how soon they can get the funds, and just be assured that SBA is working diligently to get these funds out as quickly as we possibly can. And I'm sure the lenders participating in the program are doing the same. You know, we all feel the pain of the small businesses in our area, and we're just trying to help as quickly and efficiently as we possibly can.
We heard from Senator Mitch McConnell earlier this week. I think he sent a news release out on Tuesday saying that they would be taking up in the Senate the idea that more funding could be made available both to individuals and to business. Is that something that the SBA sees as necessary?
We don't have any guidance on that at this point, and we have not received any information regarding that. So we are awaiting guidance on that subject, as you are.
Okay. And what have you had to do as an agency in terms of staffing up to handle this? Have you had to bring more people in to deal with this, like the unemployment offices have?
Our office has not, but I know that the SBA in general has, manning the phone calls and other questions that lenders and borrowers have. I don't have specific numbers as the number of employees, but they have expanded capacity greatly in anticipation of this.
Can you give us just a little bit of an idea of what this situation looks like on your end as compared to, say, this time last year when everything was as normal as we could expect it to be, I suppose, economically, and compared to now where we are living in this very strange, unprecedented period?
As you can imagine, we have literally millions of small businesses applying for both the EIDL loan and the Paycheck Protection Program around the country, and that was definitely not the case if you rewind a year. So the sheer volume has increased dramatically.
And just how quickly have people in positions like yours had to move to figure out how all this works? I understand you have a natural understanding of the field that you're in, but this all just started days ago. This federal legislation was just adopted a couple of weeks ago, and now all of a sudden we're talking so much money from the federal government. You've got banks involved, you've got different types of businesses involved, and then all these questions coming in. How has the SBA navigated that very swift change in the situation here?
As you've stated, everything is very fluid and evolving, and we get guidance daily, and as soon as we get new information, we communicate that to our lenders and our borrowers as quickly as possible.
Okay, and you did talk a little bit about expanding capacity online. How is that being monitored? I mean, my goodness, I imagine there's a lot of clicks even at this very moment for people trying to get information, but what type of steps have you had to take in order to accommodate this overflow of people who are looking for information and for funding opportunities?
Yes, I'm at the local level here at the Columbus District Office, so that's handled outside of my. I just do know that they have expanded capacity greatly. Like I said, I don't have specific numbers for that, but I do know they've hired quite a number of people to help man both the phones and the online inquiries.
And you're with the Columbus District. Is that the does that cover the entire state, or does it cover beyond the state border?
You know, we cover 66 counties, mostly from central Ohio down. We also use our Cincinnati branch to help cover those counties as well.
Okay, so there's different offices across the country.
Correct. The Cleveland District Office covers the 22 counties above central Ohio.
Okay. And the number is 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join this conversation. What do you think it looks like on the other side of this, based on the amount of money that's handed out and the previous efforts the SBA has made pre-coronavirus pandemic? You're helping businesses along the way outside of crises like this. What is the goal? What do you hope that this looks like on the other side?
We hope to help as many small businesses as we possibly can. Going forward, we have no way to speculate as how long or how much, but as Everett stated, we are doing all we can to help small businesses in our territory and the SBA as a whole throughout the country.
Okay, I think I've got time for one more phone call. Let's get Harry on the line. Hi, Harry, what's your question or comment?
I was just going to add something to the caller about whether or not he was public or private. On the
501c3, yeah.
501c3, of course, is the Internal Revenue Code section applies to charitable organizations. And when you come in and first apply for recognition as a charity, you normally determine whether or not you want to be publicly supported or private. That just simply means that do you have a broad base of public support? You're a public charity. If you want to be a private foundation, that is like a family foundation, then you have a very narrow form of support that could be like from a single donor.
Okay.
Or a trust or something.
We've got about 15 seconds, Harry. Was there anything else?
And that's all there is to that.
Awesome.
And then the EIN, Employer Identification Number. You can get one of those whether or not you have employees. It's not. It's always a good idea to get one in order to keep your business account separate.
All right, Harry, we appreciate that information so much. We are out of time. Jerome Jones from the U.S. Small Business Administration, Columbus District, you've been very generous to us and our listeners. Thank you so much for your time and all the information you provided us.
Thank you for having us, Michael.
It's our pleasure. Hope to talk again. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.